not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So here we have a community of believers who are doing well. They are an example to others because they are being persecuted. There's challenges in their community, but they're an example to others because they are still loving Jesus. They're still following Jesus. They're still having the hope. And Paul is writing this letter to them as an encouragement. But the challenge these Thessalonian Christians are having is that they are carrying a grieving. They are carrying a mourning. That their experience in Jesus doesn't appear to make sense with the victory of Christ. Because Jesus is about life. Christianity is about life and resurrection and eternal life. Yet they are witnessing persecution. They're witnessing challenges in their lives as a community. And so they're troubled. They're troubled. And Paul is speaking encouragement to them that they may carry on encouraged. Because that's what encouragement is. It's speaking good to people that they may have courage to carry on. That's encouragement. Speaking good to people and in someone that they may have courage. Now what Paul does is he encourages them in many ways throughout the whole letter. But he encourages them by introducing to them a higher life in Christ. He introduces to them a higher life which is in Christ. Now he encourages them with a wonderful truth that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is returning. 4:18. He says, encourage one another with these words. What words has he spoken? He said, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So the higher life in Christ, the first point to remember, is that Jesus is returning again, and the way it seems in this world is not the reality of what's going to happen in eternity. It's not natural and normal for us to consider that Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, is at the right hand of the Father in his body, is going to come back. But that's the perspective we are to live in. That Jesus is returning. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is not, as Ray said, that when we take communion, it's not a memorial. It's not, oh, thanks, Jesus, you know, what a hero he was, you know, bless him, you know, gave his life, and he died, and he was punished, and he was tortured, he was, you know, he was perfectly sinless, but, you know, Jesus, he's now gone, I mean, bless him, it was a terrible thing, but he did that for us. That's not the reality. The reality is he was punished, he was sinless, he was tortured for your sin and my sin. But it didn't end there. He rose again. He rose again and he was around on the earth for a while, appearing to over 500 witnesses. And then he went to be with the Father. And if you read the Bible, he levitated, he just floated up to the sky. I mean, it just doesn't compute with our natural mind, does it? That Jesus went, right, I don't know what it looked like, but it's just like, I'm checking out now. The Holy Spirit's coming. I have to go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. So I'm going, and he just goes. I mean, I've seen the films that try and interpret that, but I don't know exactly what it looked like. But imagine it. And he's gone to be with the Father, but he then sends the Holy Spirit to us that we can engage with Jesus now. In this day and age. And the awesome thing is Jesus says it's good for you that I go because the Holy Spirit's going to come. So what he's saying is it's actually better for us now in these days that that the Holy Spirit's with us than it was when Jesus was walking on the earth in the flesh. We are living in a better reality than it was when Jesus was walking in the flesh. Do you think, I wish Jesus was here in the flesh, it'd be amazing. But actually he chose to be limited in his humanity, and so he couldn't be in many places all at once. Because that was the plan of the God, that was God's plan. But now the Holy Spirit is here, God can minister to you and me at the same time in different ways. He can minister to every single member of the body of Christ all at once in a different way. Because he's God. You and I can't do that, but he can. That's the glory of getting together. You're just standing there worshipping, you know, and singing, and just sometimes I think, wow, like, I wonder what God's saying to other people right now. I wonder what other people's experience is. And it's wonderful that God, a supernatural God, is ever present and can minister to other people. And that's the glory of prayer. You can get into the Lord's presence and pray for other people. And it makes a difference in people's lives. Because God's not limited to time and space. He's not limited to what we think he is. And so the reality of life in Christ is that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Jesus is returning. He hasn't abandoned us. Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, Jesus hasn't abandoned you. But the challenge they've got is that we know Jesus is Holy Spirit is here in Jesus, and we know that Jesus is coming back. But the challenge of carrying the reality of this life and the reality of the Holy Spirit with us is not easy. Because when you're carrying these two realities, you need God to help you through that. Even in a world of pain and suffering, you can experience a higher life in Christ knowing he's coming back. Now the scripture that I chose here, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, just before, when you see therefore in the scripture, Paul or someone has said something, then it says therefore. So it's always good to back up and find out what the therefore is. And so the scripture today, therefore encourage each other and build each other up just as you're doing. What is the therefore here? As we read, you are not in darkness, for you are children of light. You are not in darkness, you are children of light. Therefore encourage each other. You see, being children of light is not some cartoon. Being children of light, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Jesus also said, he is the light of the world. So because we're in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, wherever we go, we are actually manifesting the light of Jesus. And there is a place in Christ's heart which is only manifested through your life. When you walk from this place, you are the light of the world. And the Jesus in you is the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So wherever you go, there is a place of Jesus, there is a manifestation of Jesus. And as I said, when you don't walk in who you are as a Christian, a place, a part of Jesus' heart is not being manifested. That's how awesome it is to be a child of the light. But the challenge is, because we're children of the light, our eyes are open to the reality of how dark this world is. You see, if you're blinded by sin and blinded by Jesus, blinded from Jesus, blinded by the enemy, you don't see the reality of how difficult this world is. And I remember speaking to a church pastor recently. He said he thinks that Christians feel more pain than anyone else, but God gives them the grace to overcome. God gives them the grace to walk through. As Christians, our eyes are enlightened because we see the reality of what's happening in the world. whereas other people are blind to it. We see the reality, so we feel the pain of it, we feel the mourning of it, we feel the grieving of it. And yet we can be encouraged that we are children of the light. In 5 verse 9, Paul says, "Forget, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together for him." So an encouragement in this world is that Jesus is coming back. Another encouragement is that we are children of the light. Now this is amazing to me. This is for me the pinnacle of the higher reality of life in Christ, where Paul has said, whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. So what Paul is saying is, hey, if you're following Jesus, if you're waiting for his return in the midst of all these challenges, if you are a child of the light, there is a life available to you which is above and beyond normal life and even death. Life in Christ is higher than normal life. Christ is above all of it. Jesus Christ is above normal life. Jesus Christ is even above death. And so what's available to us is a life, the actual life of Christ, which is available to you and I as the body of Christ, which is above the normal, everyday challenges of life. It doesn't mean that you're escaping from circumstances and you're escaping from life. It means you are going to heaven realities, where Paul says, fix your mind on things that are above. You are there and living on this earth from that place. That's what's available to you. That's why the Holy Spirit is amazing. That's why Jesus said, it's better for you that I go, that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because this higher life in Christ is available to us as Christians. That we can live above circumstances. We can live above the daily challenges of life. Not escape them, as I said, but live from heaven in and amongst the circumstances. I'm telling you, this stuff is real. This life, higher life in Christ is real. I've spent time in hospitals in the last few months, and I've been filled with the Spirit, surrounded by the effects of the fall. Filled with Jesus Christ. Sleeping overnight in a bed with one of my family, not being well, and I'm surrounded by sick people, and Jesus is speaking to me and saying, I'm not calling you to run away, I'm calling you to be here, but here I offer a higher life, that whether you are a dead or alive, whether you are awake or asleep, there is a life offered to you. This is what we can walk in as Christians. And without that life, we can get drawn down by circumstances, we can get drawn down by time, we can get drawn down by the everyday challenges of this life. I mean, in the news recently, there's certain football clubs that are running out of money and they're being defunct and they're being chucked out into the lower leagues, and people are absolutely distraught. Like they're really, like absolutely distraught. We don't know what we're going to do with our lives now. And that is, I'm not against football. I like football. I enjoy football. In moderation, all that stuff's good. But if my football team collapses, that's not the end of my life. That's not, oh, what am I going to do now? Well, actually, about 4 hours of my week is now finished. What am I going to do? Well, I'm sure I'll find something to fill. And it's sad. I'm not mocking them. It's a grieving I feel for them, because they put everything into a football club. And now it's collapsed because it's temporary. Jesus is calling us to live in the eternal stuff. Don't think about the temporary stuff. Think about the eternal stuff, the stuff that's going to last forever. And I'll tell you one thing that's going to last forever. That's life in Jesus Christ. That's going to last forever, because Jesus is coming back and the new creation is going to happen. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I'm not opening that door now, but the life in Christ that we have available to us now is never going to end. That's the eternal reality of life in the Spirit, of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is never going to end. He was never created. He never had a beginning, and He will never have an end. I remember waking up in the middle, I've mentioned this before, but I remember waking up in the middle of the night when I was about 6 or 7, and my family were Christians, and I could hear them praying and stuff underneath me, and I just felt like the presence of God, and I just felt the presence of eternity. And it really unsettled me. I remember sitting up just going, forever, 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 forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I just started shaking, because it was like, what do you mean forever? Forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's never going to end. It's never, ever going to end. That's life in Christ. And through the Holy Spirit, we have access to this eternal life. We have access to Jesus, who is the eternal life. Our relationship with Jesus is relationship with eternal life. It's not something that's going to end. It's amazing. So I hope you're... Are you getting encouraged by this? Anyone being encouraged? Thank you, Jesus. I'm being encouraged by this. I'm amazed at some of the things that God says. It's amazing. So a light, Paul is encouraging them that Jesus is coming back. They are children of the light, and they have access to a higher reality of life in Christ. A life that is above and beyond that of normal human life, and above and beyond even death. Living together with Him, Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians that in Christ there is a life and above normal death, normal life and even death. And encouraging one another in this truth gives them the courage to carry on. So when we engage in these truths, we are filled with the Spirit, and He encourages us Himself to have the courage to continue, to know that this is not the end. Now, interestingly enough, this word encourage can also be translated comfort. So you could say, therefore, comfort each other and build each other up just as you are doing. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so I believe that in our mourning and our grieving, that this world is not as it should be. Jesus promises us comfort. He doesn't say the comfort will mean I'm going to take you away from it and you're never going to have a challenge. You're never going to be wrestling with anything. You're never going to have any questions. I'm going to take you away. He's saying I will comfort you in the midst of the mourning. I will comfort you in the midst of the grieving. And within our mourning, we're promised this blessing of comfort. And it has a purpose of providing comfort for us that encourages us as people, and it causes us to be courageous, which in turn is an encouragement to others by causing them to be courageous. When they see people being courageous within the midst of suffering, you see someone and say they're fighting on, they're not giving up. And it encourages us, and it gives us courage when we see others doing that. See, through the dynamic of this series, it's the love we experience from God is that which causes us to love others. The acceptance we know from God is that which causes us to accept others. The forgiveness from God is that which causes us to forgive others. The wisdom from God is that which causes us to be wise with other people. And so here, the encouragement that we know from Jesus, the encouragement that we've been talking about today, is designed not so we can just stay in our holes and say, oh yes, I'm really encouraged. It's so we would embody the encouragement, therefore we would be courageous people. And people would see us and say, there's something different about those people. They're not living tied down by the world. They're not living in fear. There's something about them. They're courageous. They're bold. They step out. They talk about the Lord. They're courageous through the pain and the suffering. They encourage others while they're going through challenges themselves. Who are these people? And when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." If you study that word out, blessed, it essentially means a superior coming down to comfort and help an inferior. That's what it means to be blessed by the Lord. I mean, there's other dynamics, but that's one of them, where God comes down and helps graciously an inferior. A superior being comes down and helps an inferior. When we're blessed by the Lord, He comes down graciously and lifts us up. And in John 14:26, Jesus says, "But the Helper," or the Comforter, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." And I felt the Spirit of the Lord breathe on me, and He said, "I will teach you in and through my comfort." Jesus says, I'll repeat that, "But the Helper, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." In the comfort of the Holy Spirit, He teaches us. In the comfort of the Holy Spirit, you are taught by God. You see, these each others are not moral duties where God's saying, "You must love, you must forgive, you must accept, you must encourage." God Himself empowers us to do these things. And so when life in the Spirit is not normal thinking, as I would see it, it doesn't make sense to my natural mind that if I'm grieving and I'm mourning and I'm challenged by life, that I should receive comfort from God to teach me how to move on through the grieving and the mourning and the challenges. It doesn't make sense to me that the source of my way out and the source of my light is going to be me receiving comfort. What makes sense to my natural mind is that I need to try harder and I need to do more and I need to fight in my own strength. For the glory of life in the Spirit is, if you are going through challenges, if you are going through circumstances you don't understand, the Lord says, "I will teach you in and through my comfort." So it's about receiving Holy Spirit. It's about receiving comfort from the Lord. And through receiving comfort from the Lord, we are encouraged ourselves, because we're receiving encouragement from the Lord. We're receiving His comfort, and then it becomes teaching to others, and we become the embodiment of encouragement. We become people that are not drawn down and distorted and affected by our circumstances like someone who doesn't know Jesus. We don't grieve as those who have no hope. We still grieve. And in fact, we can grieve for our own condition. It's not only the things that are around us that we grieve for. We can grieve for our own condition. I don't know about you, but sometimes I grieve at my own condition. I don't grieve at my position. My position is a son. I'm a child of the living God. I'm loved, accepted. I'm forgiven. That's my position. But there's a condition going on, the sinful aspect of my humanity. I did it again, Lord. I thought it again. I said it again. I didn't do it again. I didn't say it again. And you mourn and you grieve at this condition that you have, with the sinful aspect of our humanity. But yet, God's answer is not to condemn us. There's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. God's answer is to say, "Okay, that's where you are. Receive my comfort. Receive my Spirit. Be filled with my Spirit. The eternal Spirit that is in my heart from eternity into eternity. Be filled with it. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with my comfort in amongst your circumstances. Be filled with my comfort, that in my comfort I may teach you my ways. That I may teach you your next step. That I may teach you how to live, how to respond. So this is the higher life in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, that is above the cares of this world. It's above our daily cares. Whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him, no matter what we're going through. Christ wants us to engage in living with Him in His higher life. But the challenge of this life, it's not easy to find. It's not easy to find. Jesus says, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. There is something challenging about reaching this life, this higher life in Christ, because we can proclaim it and we can say, yes, there's a higher life in Christ. It's awesome. And actually, being saved is the easy bit. Coming into relationship with Jesus is easier. It wasn't easy for Jesus, but for us, we humble ourselves and we repent, which means we turn away from our sin and our rebellion and our depravity, and we turn to Jesus and say, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, I'm depraved, I'm rebellious, help me. And He comes in and forgives us. And we believe, He fills us with His Holy Spirit, and we become a Christian, we become a follower of Christ. Coming into relationship with Jesus is humbling ourselves and receiving Him. But yet, to continue to live in the higher life of Christ is a challenge. And I believe what Jesus is saying, part of what Jesus is saying about the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, is that this higher life in Christ is not easily accessible. And there's a key dynamic about this high life in Christ, and that is approaching Jesus for Him, not for what you can get from Him. That's the key and the door into the high life in Christ. It's to come to Jesus for Him, for who He is. When Jesus says, hard is the way that leads to life, I'm sure you can relate to this, how hard it is to come before the Lord when you're going through challenges and struggles, and it's hard to come before Him and love Him for who He is. Because you've got things that you need God to deal with. You've got things that you need God to change. You've got things where you need God to intervene. And yet He says, come to me for who I am. See, He tells us to ask. What are we asking for? He tells us to seek. What are we seeking? He tells us to knock. What are we knocking for? Number one should be, I'm asking for more of you, Jesus. It's like the cry of the bride to the bridegroom. Lord, I need you. I worship you. Yes, I've got many things going on. There's challenges. There's all these things going on, but I worship you. And it is so hard to do that. And to be frank, I'm learning to do that. Because we've all got challenges in our lives. But I've realized that one of the keys to accessing through that narrow gate into a higher life in Christ is actually learning to love Jesus for who He is. And to worship Him by knowing He is worthy. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of our praises? Is He worthy of actually, I've got my list first, and then I will love you and worship you? With Mary of Bethany, who just wasted all that oil. But it wasn't a waste. But everyone's like, what are you doing wasting? It's just this dynamic of loving Jesus for who he is. And I believe that's access to a higher life in Christ, which means you are actually walking in the reality of whether you're awake or asleep, alive or dead, you're walking in that reality of a higher life. And you will receive comfort in that place. And through the comfort, the Lord teaches you in and through the comfort. When you lay aside every weight and sin that so shackles us, as it says in Hebrews, interestingly enough, it says, lay aside every weight and every sin. So things to be laid aside are not always sins. It's just about one of the lowest levels of looking at, should I do this, should I, is it a sin, is it not? Actually, there are many things that aren't sins that are weights in our lives. I mean, one of my challenges is I've watched too many sermons and videos, and sometimes I'm just overwhelmed by everybody else's opinion. I've forgotten what mine is. And it's not a sin to sit and watch a sermon or a video of someone preaching, but it begins to weigh you down. We've got so much of it, which is awesome. I'm not saying don't do it, but you can be so overwhelmed by everybody else's opinion, you can spend weeks listening to other people's opinion. You haven't spent a minute with the Lord. And that for me is a weight in my life, because we've got access to all these great teachers. You need to watch that in moderation. So I believe the access to for us as Christians for the higher life is coming to the Lord for Him, asking for Him, seeking for Him, knocking for Him. Lord, I ask for more of your presence. This is what it looks like. Lord, I ask for you. Lord, you know my heart. You know the situations in my life. You know what I'm walking through. You know the challenges. Lord, we'll come to that. But right now, Lord, I worship you. I give you all the glory and the honor. I give you all the praise. You are worthy of every single ounce of praise. Because you are my Lord. And I ask for more of you. I come to you for you. I want to know more of you. I'm seeking more of you, Lord. I'm seeking more of your revelation. I'm seeking more of your heart. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know that my life is yours. I'm knocking on the door, Lord, because I want to see more of you. I want to know more about you. I want to know more about your love and your acceptance and your forgiveness. I want to know more about your wisdom. I want to be encouraged by you that I might become an encouraging person, Lord, that people might look at me and see Christ in me. Lord, I worship you. I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. Lord, I receive your comfort in this place. That's what it looks like. And God works in and amongst it. And if your heart is saying, I don't know what to do with that, that's okay too. I've many times come before the Lord and said, you know what, Lord, I don't want you first. Don't think I've got it all worked out in its completion. The Lord can do something. Lord, I'm a believer. I've come through the narrow gate to salvation, but there seems to be a higher life in Christ through the narrow gate, that hard that leads to a higher life. What's happening? Lord, my heart grieves because I don't want you. And you give that to Him too. And Holy Spirit, so gracious. And you can work with that. Because you wouldn't say that if you weren't saved. We knock ourselves up down sometimes by just saying, oh, I don't want God, what's wrong with me? The fact that you're thinking about that means you're a child of the living God. So don't be afraid to give the Lord your heart and say, Lord, my heart is not desiring you. I'm more interested in the football scores. I'm more interested in the latest movie. I'm more interested in this, that and the other. But Lord, I give that to you. And He can work with that. And He starts revealing Himself through that position where He reveals His comfort to you. And in that comfort, He reveals to teach you. and he fills you with himself. He fills you with his person. And so I just want us to position our hearts right now in prayer, that we would come to Jesus for who he is. Just come in. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for each and every heart in this room. Each and every heart that's carrying burden. Lord, each and every heart that's carrying grieving and mourning for the state of this world and for the state of the realities around them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would fill them with your higher life, your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill every heart? Would you heal every heart? Would you reveal, Lord, who you are to them? Lord, would you enable us and remind us to come before you first and foremost for you? And Lord, through that place, would you come in and comfort us, that we might be taught more of your ways. Lord, that whether we're awake or asleep, whether we live or die, that we might live with you, and we might know the realities of this life that is above and beyond even death. Because we know death is not the end. Because you are a risen Christ. You are returning. You are coming back, Lord. Amen. And just in closing, I just want to say that as I've looked at this series of each other's, there are over 50 each other's. Love, acceptance, forgiveness, counsel, encouragement. I've realised I need that more than ever. From God. A part of my brain thought, when I finish this, then I'll know everything about all these things and then I can just move on. But actually, it's just revealed to me how much we all need these things from God and from each other. And I believe the Lord is leading us into being a community where we live these things out, because we need to. We need each other to accept us for who we are. We need wisdom from the Lord, from each other, because the Lord gives him wisdom to different people. And so I just to be encouraged that I believe the Lord is calling us not to do this in our own strength, but to keep going on with Jesus, focusing on Jesus, loving him for who he is, that he might create a community that is mindful of his will for us to do all these things with each other. So praise God. I pray you have a wonderful day today. And we'll spend the next 5-10 minutes in here chatting. The youth hall will be opened in about 5 minutes for tea and coffee. But actually, while you can talk about whatever you like, but maybe one thing to think about is that how have you done any of these things or experienced any of these things in the last few weeks? Just maybe share that with someone next to you. How have you felt the love of God, or how have you loved someone else? How have you felt the acceptance of Christ, or accepted other people for what they've done? How have you forgiven others? Or maybe how you haven't forgiven others and how it's challenging for you. And then the Lord will impart wisdom to that person and set you free. Have a wonderful day. Praise God.